Well, I guess y'all all know that there's no distance in prayer, right? Right.
Amen.
You know, we get a lot of emails from all over the country because, you know, he's been on Sid Roth and lately he's been on Daystar. And he will be on Daystar again Tuesday, April the 12th at 2 p.m. on Joni Table Talk. So they will re-air that at 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. if you're an early bird the next morning. So I wanted to read a couple of praise reports. He originally asked us to pray in January. He was asking a prayer of agreement for the complete healing for Julie. I met her last Friday. She's never had a chance in this life. Her childhood was terrible. She's 48 years old, and only a miracle can help. She had cancer right here on her neck, huge tumor. She looked awful. They told her, you're dying. This is it. See you later kind of thing. He said, so now March 29th. This was January. She was given a death sentence. I just saw Julie today. The cancer is in remission. Praise our Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. She is a very happy lady. I asked her to be sure and forgive her husband. I was not sure if she'd been in contact with you because our visit was so short. And I prayed with her concerning her husband who needs a healing from alcohol and drug addiction issues. So I ask for your agreement and prayer to bind the spirits that are holding Julie's husband in bondage and to bind the spirits who are blinding Julie's husband to the truth of Jesus, our Christ, so that this family may be completely healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
So he got hold of the teaching. Okay. Now this next one, the young man's from Portugal. October 28th of 2015, he contacted us. Dear Pastor Thurman, I'm Levi, and I'm 14 years old, and I'm a Christian. Last October the 17th, I sent you an email telling you about the many diseases and symptoms I've been suffering from. I'm so grateful for your kindness and readiness to pray for me. I have no words to describe it. It's been 10 days since you prayed for me. I told you that I was so desperate because of the constant and extreme itching in my underarm. The entire area of the skin was covered with blisters and looked red like raw meat. The perspiration in my right upper arm was beyond normal. I could hardly focus on anything else. After you prayed for me, I finally started noticing some relief a couple of days later, but it didn't last. That ugly condition came back. And if it wasn't enough, the last days I've been suffering from horrible itching in my scalp. I should be studying for tests, but lost this day because I was so desperate with the itching. About the extreme perspiration on my right underarm, I'll tell you a couple of things that I think are related. I'm a very good student, one of the best in my class, but for some reason that I understand, I feel extremely anxious and nervous at school, and I think that because of that, my perspiration is intense, especially under my right arm. It's so intense that I could never wear t-shirts on summer, and I always need to wear a jacket to cover the wet shirt. My hands are always cold. The acne in my face is also annoying. I don't know what to do, Pastor. My mother thinks it could be her sin, but she doesn't know what it is, and it was, by the way. I'm so desperate, Pastor. Could you please pray for me again? Thank you so much. And this is what we answered. We have prayed and it is done. Do not focus on your fear. The Lord is taking you into a season of knowing His love and favor. Cast all your cares on Him. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to scriptures about the love and favor of God. Perfect love cast out fear. 1 John 4:19. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. That was at 4:48 p.m. Well, that was an early day for us.
Yeah. That's in the morning, by the way.
No, that was 4:48 p.m., not a.m.
Oh, that was p.m.?
Yeah,
okay.
That one was p.m. We're going to get to the next part.
Okay.
It was an a.m. Okay. Then he writes back in February. Dear Pastor, I am Levi. I've written to you before, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the times you prayed for me. I've got a praise report. Some months ago, I asked you to pray for me because I had excessive perspiration, a big wound in my underarm. You prayed for me, and the Lord healed me slowly, and now it is absolutely normal. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, last week I asked you to pray for me because of a condition I've suffered in the recent years that makes me have extreme fatigue and back muscle pain. I've been seen by a doctor that was replaced just a short time ago, and I ask you to pray for me because I truly want to be healed by the Lord and not by any doctor. But since I missed school, I had to go and see a doctor because here in Portugal, we have to go to a state doctor for him to give us an official justification for school. With my former doctor, there was never an issue, but this man doesn't know anything about me or about my character, and even reading my medical history in front of me and making all sorts of comments about all the procedures, he didn't want to give me the official justification for school. He said with his own mouth that I was very ill and that something had to be done, but even then, he refused to give me the justification. On the other hand, the school demands this justification every time a student misses school for more than 3 days. No one understands why he's doing such a thing, not even some of the other doctors. If I don't give that justification to my teacher tomorrow, in capitals, the school is obliged to contact authorities and something about protecting minors. And that's a very serious thing. My hands are clean before the Lord. I didn't lie to the doctor about anything. In fact, I was in such a big suffering. This man is new to the medical center. He's replacing my former doctor. He doesn't know me at all. His behavior towards me is shocking. I can only see it as a trap from the devil. I don't know what I can do apart from praying. Please pray for me, since you're a man of such a great faith. Please, I ask you to pray for me, for the Lord to give me a solution tomorrow. Thank you so very much for your precious prayers. May God bless you. So, March 24th. Hello, Pastor. I have a praise report to share with you. Praise Jesus. My mother went to the doctor again because it was her absolute right to get the official statement for school, since I was really ill and the school was putting a lot of pressure on ourselves because I'd missed many school days. No one understood why the doctor was having such an irrational behavior. It was very clear for me that the devil was putting me in a trap. So this day when we went there to see the doctor, you'd already prayed for our situation, and we knew we just had to go there, but we were also confident that the subject was in the hands of the Lord and that the victory was ours. But surprisingly, the doctor got even angrier and very irrational, and he shouted he would not give the statement. We left the office a little bit sad, but still trusting the Lord because he is our justice. Amen. Later that day, the doctor called us, asking us to go urgently to his office. We were sure it was the Lord. He said he was having a big weight in his conscience because he said he didn't want to do any harm to me. Thank you very much for your precious prayer. He says, "Dear Pastor, I've been trying to put in practice the principles I've learned from you. Ask for forgiveness for my sins frequently. I've been missing school for several days due to extreme fatigue, serious muscle pain, and I don't want to go to the doctor. I'd like the Lord to heal me. Can you please pray for me, since I lack faith to pray myself? Thank you very, very much. May the Lord bless you all." So we pray. He says, "Dear Pastor, March the 29th. I've got another praise report to share with you. Praise the Lord. I ask you to pray for my back problem, since I lack faith to do it myself. The way God responded to it was amazing. Since I was healed a couple of weeks ago, I never had another little pain again. And when I was in pain, it was hard for me to imagine that I would ever be without pain and fatigue. Now I'm free and healed. Praise God. I deeply thank you for your precious prayers. They mean a lot to me."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
I have one more thing that you don't know about.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I got this real early this morning. This person wrote, "I was just reading a new book I got and found a reference to Pastor Scrivener in it. You probably know about it, but in case not, I will paste in what I read." This is from Christine Darg, and whoever doesn't know who she is, she's an award-winning journalist before accepting a prophetic call to Israel with her husband, Peter Darg. She has Exploits Ministry, and she's on Jerusalem Channel over there, and she's an author of Miracles Among Muslims, and this particular book is called Speak to the Mountain, God Can Make You Well. And it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you want to buy it. "We must pray decisively at all times. The prayer of faith is forceful and does not waver. Pastor Thurman Scrivener, a former Baptist deacon who has a worldwide healing ministry, prays decisively for people. And after they have repented from their sins, he says, 'I guarantee you that God has healed you.' People ask, 'How can you guarantee healing?' Pastor Thurman answers, 'My statement is based upon the fact that I believe God's word is true and that God cannot lie. If we believe what he has promised in the Bible concerning healing, we will pray decisively and without wavering and guarantee results based upon his word."
Amen. Christine Gardner. Praise the Lord. If I can't guarantee God's word, who can I guarantee? If you find something written in God's word, you can take it to the bank. You know, it'll work every time. But it's in there. And I remember the very first time that I used that "I guarantee," and it was a young boy that was 11 years of age, and it's been many years ago. That boy is probably 30, 35 years old now at least. But at that time, he was 11. The reason his mother and dad invited me to their home was because God had been revealing to me the truth of his word as a Southern Baptist. Not to say that the Baptists don't teach a lot of truth, but when it comes to healing and deliverance and talking about demons and things like this, we really don't jump out there and say, okay, I guarantee God will do something like this. So anyway, the Lord had been showing me in His Word that His Word really works, just like He says. It really does work. I mean, just think, what if you're driving down the road in your car and all of a sudden the car quits running and you pull off to the side of the road and you check the gas and there is no gasoline coming out. The fuel pump is either failed or a gas line stopped up or something. But if you knew that God made a tremendous promise like, son, if you ask me anything, I promise to do it for you. Okay, now that's written. Whenever I took the air cleaner off and pulled the line loose and there was no gasoline coming out, I made a statement like this. Shucks, here I am, God, 9 o'clock on Friday night in Granbury, Texas. There's probably not a fuel pump for this foreign car I'm driving this side of Fort Worth. I'm dead in the water. What am I going to do? Now, have any of you ever asked God things like that before? And you know what? Most of you are just like I was. I didn't expect an answer. You know, let's just be truthful about this. You know, we ask and beg and plead for God to do things, and probably 99.9% of the time, unless you've been trained, when you ask God for something, you really don't expect to hear Him answer you. Is that right, Kim? I mean, so why do we ask Him? Well, because we obviously are His children. We do believe there is a God, and so we do talk to Him knowing He's not going to talk back to us, because that's where I live most of my life. And that's where I was that night, that Friday night. I didn't expect Him to speak, although I'd heard His audible voice about 3 or 4 times in my life at this point. But He said, just like He's standing right there. And let me tell you, He's always standing right there. Is He not, Mary? He's always standing right there. He's closer than a brother. I mean, he sticks closer. He is right there with you, promised to never forsake you or leave you. And so when I hear this voice, He said, son, that's startling. You're out there in the middle of nowhere all by yourself. Well, of course, your wife and kids are in the car, but you're outside under the hood standing there by yourself when you hear somebody say, son, didn't I tell you in my word that you could ask for anything and I would do it for you? And I said, yes, Lord, you did. Then He says, well, in other words, what do you want? What is your problem? You said your fuel pump's not working. Would you like to have a bucket of gasoline? Would you like for me to make a fuel pump appear right there? Would you like me to put it on for you? You know, what would you like for me to do? Would you like for me to send an angel? Those are kind of far-fetched things, but you never think that God would answer you and ask you such a crazy thing. What would you like for me to do for you? Now, this is the way He started out training me, teaching me how these things work. So I said, Lord, I mean, after you've heard God's audible voice speak to you and say, son, what would you like? Didn't I tell you you could ask for anything? I mean, if He said anything, Tony, did He really say anything? He did, didn't He? So why do we as Christians, His children, almost never ask Him for anything? Or when we do, we ask begging, pleading. We really don't ask in faith. So He was having to teach me. He was having to train me. And so whenever I said, Lord, I'm asking you to give me enough gas for this car to run 50 miles an hour until I get my wife and children home down at Mother's and Dad's. In the morning, I'll go to Brownwood and buy a fuel pump and I'll put it on the car. Thank you, Lord, it's done. Now you got to act on that. So I put the gas line back in, tightened it up, put the air cleaner back on. I shut the hood. I turned around and picked up a payphone that was right there because we didn't have cell phones back in those days. Picked up a payphone and I called Mother. I said, Mom, we're having a little car trouble. We're going to be just a little bit late, but we'll be there. She said, son, are you sure everything's okay? I said, yes, ma'am. Everything's fine. We're going to be just a little bit late because I'm calculating that for some strange reason, I asked for the Lord to give me enough gas to run how fast? 50 miles an hour. Now, why did I do that? See, I don't know either. You know, I don't understand why. But see, who's in charge? God. And is He training me to do something? Yes. Yes. Do I know what he's doing? No. Have no clue. But all I know is what he told me. And so, I mean, I get in the car after I told Mom, I go around to the back of the car and I put my tools back up and I shut the trunk and I come in and I scoot in under the steering wheel. And my wife said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're going home." She said, "I thought you said the fuel pump don't work." I said, "It don't." And I hit the starter. Now, that don't make any sense either, does it? I mean, we just checked it. She turned it over for me several times. Not a drop of gas come out. Not a drop. I mean, I'm an engineer. You know, I mean, I know how cars work, and I know it takes a fuel pump to pump that gas, but there was none came out. What makes me think that when I hit this key, this thing is going to crank? When I know it can't run because it died, and there's no gasoline coming out. So why would I possibly think that when I hit the starter, it's going to turn over and start and run? How could I make those kind of declarations? Only God is in total control of what he's training me to do. I mean, this is not nothing me. This is where the Lord is totally driving me or teaching me or training me by his Spirit. You know, this is not a Thurman thing. This is a Spirit of God thing. And this is why we can't do anything, because we try to do everything we do in the flesh. And when you're in the flesh, nothing works. The Scripture don't make no sense nowhere when you try to live in the flesh. You can't do anything the Scripture says you can do in the flesh. You've got to be led by the Spirit of God, and it's got to be the will of God, and he's got to have made you a promise to make it work. So anyway, I hit the key, and it started just like that. I put it in reverse and backed out. My wife's looking at me like, "What is wrong here?" She's not saying anything. She's just looking. So anyway, I start to pull up on the highway, and I hear another voice. And this voice says, "You don't really think God is going to pump gas for an old wicked boy like you." Who do you think that was? Now, of course it was. It was the devil. Anytime you start to do something good for God, there'll always be a little critter appear on your shoulder and say, "Tap, tap." He ain't going to do that for you. You ain't going to get it. It ain't going to happen. So forget it. I said, "I'm going home, and this car's running, and I'm going to take my wife and children home, and we're going to the house." I said, "You might as well stop trying to fool me. I'm going home." Now, I'm talking out loud. Now, my wife and kids are totally silent. There ain't nobody saying nothing. We're totally silent. So anyway, I get up on the road, and, you know, a car's running fine. Everything's normal, and the speed limit's 35 right there. It used to be in downtown Granbury, when we go on by on 377. I drive 35 till I get past the edge of the lake. When I get past the edge of the lake there, this right out there just a little ways, the speed limit went up to 55. So I pushed her down, and I run up, and the speedometer goes right up to 50. 50, and it's sitting right there at 50. And I look at that, and I don't really, you know, feel anything uncommon until I realize that, well, I'm coming to a hill, so I push it down a little further. When I got to the top of that little hill there, I had it on the floor, and I was still running exactly 50 miles an hour. And now when I get over the hill and start down the other side, I thought, well, I'll build up some speed going down the hill. When I got to the bottom of the hill with the foot feet on the bottom, I was still running exactly 50 miles an hour. And that's when I said, "Lord, this don't make no sense at all. I know it takes more gas to go up that hill at 50 than it does to go down that hill at 50. I don't understand why this car won't run but 50 miles an hour." And he spoke to me again. He said, "Son, I am a faith God. I only honor prayers of faith." And he said, "You ask for 50 miles an hour, that's all you get, is exactly what you ask for in faith." Are you beginning to see how he's training me? He's teaching me how his word works. as a rule, I'll have to say that most of us, and I was guilty until he began to train me, and I still fall short. There's still times when God does something like this, and I pray for somebody, if I'm not careful, if I have to pray for them more than two or three times, I still get back into the begging mode. Have any of y'all ever done that? Yeah. Paula, you just got healed. Did you have to be careful that in all your pain and suffering that you had to watch not to get back in the begging mode?
Absolutely, because I've begged for 21 years.
Okay, and it didn't work. And it didn't work. Just think, she just said she begged God to heal her for 21 years. And she didn't get it. And she came out here and started listening. And her husband told me just a while ago, he said, I've never seen a Baptist that teaches the Word of God like you teach the Word of God. He said, you come at this at a completely different perspective from anybody I've ever heard in my life. Is that what you said?
I said.
Yeah. But it got your lovely bride healed, didn't it?
Fixed her.
Isn't that something? Isn't it? In other words, if God says something in His Word, He means exactly what He says in His Word. And he's not a begging God. So anyway, as I'm learning these things now, and now my car, we drove that car for 2 hours from Granbury, Texas to Goldsway, Texas. Me, my wife, and my two children, we drove that car 50 miles an hour, and it didn't use a drop of gas out off the needle for 2 hours. It ran perfect. It didn't miss nothing. We pulled into the front yard. It was about 11:30 or whatever by that time. And we jumped out of the car, and Mom and Dad come out. You know, they were still up. They knew we was coming. They got out. Mom said, son, y'all all okay? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, we've just had a miracle from God, Mom. I mean, can you get excited about having a miracle from God? I mean, I knew I had drove that car for 2 hours. It hadn't missed a lick. And I knew the fuel pump wasn't working. I'm watching the gas gauge for 2 hours, and it never moves. Stays right there. Now, that's unusual, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Usually when you get in your car and you start somewhere, you look at it, if it's right here 2 hours later, it's down here, not in the same place. But mine didn't move. And so anyway, we sat up for hours and praised and worshiped the Lord. You know, me and Mom and Dad and my wife and my children, we just praised the Lord. We all knew that I'd had a miracle from God. So, wow. So it was an awesome thing to see God do that. And of course, I'm hiding all these things in my heart as to how He does business, because that's what He's doing. He's training me to know how to hide these things in my heart so He could bring me later and teach you how these things worked. So you could do the same thing. So people like Paula could get healed. He loves every one of us, and He wants us all to be healed. He wants us not to sin. He wants us to walk holy in His presence. Purify ourselves from all evil. So anyway, as I'm learning these things, one night over there in my house, I had a computer and I was looking up stuff. And while I was just sitting there reading, I was reading the book of Ephesians. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I have trained you where I want you to be. Now you notice what He said. I have trained you where I want you to be. I want you to lay down your Southern Baptist information, and I want you to start teaching just my word in your church. I said, Lord, the thing you're showing me, I never heard in church. So these seminary professors, they've never talked about healing. They've never talked about deliverance and power over demons. I said, Lord, if I start teaching what you've been showing me, and I start telling people that, you know, yes, you can have a demon. In fact, if you don't walk in love, God Himself will send, the Father will send a tormenting spirit to torment you and make you sick and afflict you. I said, that ain't going to go over very well. They ain't going to believe that. I mean, you know, you ask the average Christian, you ask the average PhD from seminary, do you think that you can have a demon? And they'll say, absolutely not. I have never run into a PhD from seminary that's a seminary professor that ever, and there may be some of them out there, but I ain't never met him that believes that God Himself will send a tormenting spirit to torment you if you do not forgive everybody from your heart. But I can show it to you in the Word.
Amen.
It's in the Word. You know what I mean? It's written in God's Word. But they all told, when I first started getting into the study of demons, I said, Lord, you're going to have to do some signs and miracles and wonders to prove to the people that what I'm teaching is the truth. Well, one of the things that he did was, after I started teaching these principles in my Bible study class in the Baptist church, a few Sundays go by, and I remember there was not a lot of interaction that Sunday. No questions asked. Everybody in the class was just quiet. They're just listening to me. I'm teaching right out of the book, not the Southern Baptist Quarterly, but the Word of God. And I said, from now on, we're not going to use that quarterly. We're going to use just this book. And so when I started teaching these things, after a few weeks, the Lord began to do some wonderful things. But this one couple, they come to me and says, the woman, she said, I've been going to Sunday school for 20 years in the Baptist church. I have never heard it taught like this. And her husband said the same thing. He said, boy, I've never heard anything like this either. But he said, everything you teach is right there in the book. It's kind of hard, isn't it, whenever you're reading it right out of the Bible? And it's contrary to what you've ever seen or heard. And now then you say, you know, that somebody can be healed, or you can ask God for miracles and he'll do it. It's all over the Bible. But anyway, they said, you know, we have a boy, Philip, and he has warts all over his body, and we need a miracle from God. And I said, okay, I'll come down this afternoon after church and we'll talk. So I went down to their house that Sunday afternoon after church, and I'm sitting there on the couch, and this little Philip comes in. He's 11, about this tall, comes in and sits down right beside me. And I turn and look at him, and I have never seen a child or a human being with that many warts on his body. That kid was covered. I mean, he had humongous warts everywhere. He had them in his eyes, in his ears, in his nose, on his lips, on his neck. He was covered with warts, hundreds of them. In fact, they took him to a doctor one time, and the doctor said, well, we'll see how many they are so we'll know how we're going to get them all off. By the time they got the first arm listed, he had 184 warts on his left arm. And the doctor said, we could never burn all those off, never. So you're just going to have to live with these the rest of your life. So if you don't meet the healing Jesus, you can live with that 21 years, you said, Paula?
Yes, sir.
But when you meet the healing Jesus, you can get well. When you meet him and you know that he's already done it, he's already paid the price, you can get healed. But you have to stand. You didn't get healed overnight, did you, Paula?
No.
It took several weeks or months, whatever, just like Dave. Dave took him 20 months to get healed. But the beautiful part about it, Dave was sick for 40 years, and then he got well. You know, Paula, she was sick all those years, 20-something years. And today she sits there with her husband's arm around her, just loving him, saying, I have no pain in my body. I'm well. And that's wonderful. And we love that because we serve that God. Now, he does things different than we do. The timing is something else that I still don't understand that about God. Most of us, we come in and we think, in fact, I heard a seminary professor here a while back from one of the ones in Dallas. He said, this healing stuff, some of that stuff that's out there is not really real. He said, you know, if you get prayed for and you're not instantly healed, then it's not of God. And I thought, man, 99% of the people I have prayed for has not been an instantaneous miracle. It's been over time. But just like Dave, if we'd have prayed for Dave one time and then never went back, Dave would still be sick today. But we kept going back until we got our answer. We are not going to take no for an answer. I mean, the Lord wants you to praise him. Sometimes, you know, you've been so far away from praising him that when you get prayed for, he won't say, okay, yeah, my promises are here, but I want you to praise me. Praise, you know, and that's exactly what happened with that time whenever Cheryl, she had a bridge came loose in her mouth and she couldn't get it. They went to the dentist, and the dentist tried to take the bridge off, and he couldn't get it off. I mean, he hammered, he beat, he done everything, and she did what nobody hardly ever does. She stopped the dentist, said, stop beating on my tooth. I've got to call my husband and have him pray. Now, we don't do that much, do we? I mean, we don't want to look like fools, but she knew where the power was. It was in God, and her husband was a man that believed in God. And so why not call him and have him pray? especially when that's what the Lord says you're supposed to do. The husband's supposed to pray for the wife. So anyway, I prayed and thanked the Lord and praised him for taking it off. And she called me back in 10 minutes and said, honey, you got to pray again. It didn't work. I said, okay. So we repented again and prayed and thanked the Lord and everything. And then I didn't hear nothing else from her. And that later that night, when I got home, I was out doing something. And when I came in, I said, well, get the bridge off? She says, no. Couldn't get it. I said, what? She said, no, he couldn't get it off. He beat and hammered on that thing. He finally gave up and said, I'll just have to get a special tool next week in my other office, and I'll bring it over, and then I'll be able to get that off. So me and Eldon starts to Fort Worth to get some stuff. On the way back, I'm sitting there thinking that, Lord, why did you not answer my prayer for Cheryl's teeth? Why? We hardly ever ask that question. Lord, why did you not take that off? I prayed. I used your word. I stood on your scripture. But the tooth didn't come off. So, Lord, what did I do wrong? And all of a sudden, in the process of saying, what did I do wrong? I'm hearing in the background by the Spirit, praise. Praise. Just barely could hear it. I don't know what I was doing or thinking of that so put me in suspension that I could barely hear that voice, praise. But thank God I heard it. I said, Eldon, I know what I did. I didn't praise him enough. I said, I thanked him for taking it off, but he didn't take it off, but I didn't praise him. I said, Lord, I threw both hands. We're driving down the road in the dark. I throw both hands. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to praise you and thank you for taking that bridge off Cheryl's mouth. Lord, I praise you. You know, if you'd have been in the daytime, somebody could have seen in that truck. They said, look at that idiot. Let me tell you what, this idiot knows what he's doing. I mean, Jesus says, praise me. You don't ask no questions. You don't care who you're offending. You don't care where you are. You just start praising the King. And all of a sudden, Eldon, he put his knees up under the steering wheel. He threw both of us down. Lord, me and Thurman want to praise you and thank you for taking that bridge off of Cheryl's teeth. Lord, we praise you. And I'm over there saying, Lord, I praise you. And Eldon said, Lord, we praise you. We're driving down the road just praising the Lord. We drive about 10 miles, 10 or 12 miles. All of a sudden, in the process of my praising, my cell phone rings. And I recognize it's Cheryl's ring. So I said, I better stop and see what that is. So I jerked the phone out of my pocket. Opened up, I said, yes, honey. She said, what are you doing? I said, why? She says, because the bridge that the doctor couldn't get off earlier today just fell off in my mouth. Now, what does praise have to do with it? Everything. Does he say everything, do all things with praise? Do you think he loves for us to praise him? Yes. Well, let me ask you, when's the last time you got violent in your praise to the King? When is the last time you had a need and you begged and you pleaded and you didn't get your answer? And he's over there and you're screaming so loud and you're begging, you can't hear him saying, you need to praise me. You see where I'm coming from? Because it only took 10 miles or 10 or 12 minutes of just me and Eldon both with our hands raised, just praising, Lord, we praise you for taking that bridge off. We just praise you. And after 10 miles, the power of God fell in her mouth and dropped that bridge off, and nobody even had to pull it off. It just fell off. God took it off. So see, a lot of time when we need something from God, we come to him and we say, oh God, I got this problem. I can't walk, or I'm in a wheelchair, or whatever my problem is. And he says, well, okay, what's the first thing you should do? If we're sick or afflicted or beginning to have a problem, what is the first thing we should do? We should look to see if we've got any kind of unconfessed sin. Lord, have I not been being led by the Spirit? If you're led by the Spirit, then it won't happen. See, that's the part we miss. If you're led by the Spirit of God, it's all taken care of. You're going to walk in holiness. You ain't going to even think about getting out of your love walk. You're going to walk in love. As long as we walk in love and do what the Lord says, we will walk in obedience to His word, because you won't sin. You absolutely will not sin. Being in the flesh, it is absolutely impossible to walk where God wants you to walk. You can't do it. The price is not paid. It's not done. If you're walking in sin and you're not walking being led by the Spirit of God, then you're under the curse. You're under law, and you fell from grace, and you're back there. And so nothing works. And people wonder why at times we come to God and nothing works. We can't get Him to listen to us. But anyway, learning these things, and whenever I went over to that house and looked at this little boy sitting there, and I said, "Wow, son," I said, "you got more warts than anybody on you I ever seen." And he said, "And all the kids at school call me Warty, and I hate it." I said, "I understand. Kids are cruel. Where do kids learn to be cruel? From their mothers and dads. The mothers and dads are cruel. You know, they don't walk in love." I mean, the average Christian home today, is not walking in love. You know, they're walking in bitterness and all kinds of stuff. It really, really, really takes some effort to walk in love. But you can do it because God told you to. But anyway, I looked at Philip and he had all those warts all over him and he looked so awful. So I told him, I said, "Well, son, first of all, let me explain something to you. That God is a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him." So I said, "You've got to know how to repent of sin. Then you've got to know the promises of God. And you've got to come to Him on behalf of His promises. And if you will do that," I said, "then I guarantee, son, He will take all these warts and scars." He had two big old rows of scars on the back of his hand where they had burned some of them off before. And I said, He'll let you take all that to your grave if you don't come to Him in faith. But I said, if you come to Him in faith, He'll stop the world to take those warts and scars off your body. And so that was something unique that couple being in a Baptist church had never heard a statement like that in their life. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. So guess what I need to do? I need to sit there and need to pound the Word in this boy and his family. I need to pound the Word in them. Pound it. I mean, pound the Word of God in them. And so as we go through for hours, at least a couple of hours, I go over promises like Mark 11:23. You know, isn't that an awesome promise? For everybody that knows Mark 11:23, it says that you can speak to a mountain. And if you don't doubt in your heart, if you command that mountain to be removed from here and cast into the sea and don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will obey you. The average Christian, when I tell you that, I say, "You know, you have that kind of power." And they read it and they say, no, that's not what that means. That couldn't be that. Well, that tells me one thing about you. You are not led by the Spirit of God, because you're disagreeing with the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will never disagree with the Word of God. The two will always be the same. They will agree. So, I mean, but the average Christian, I mean, I read Mark 11:23 a few hundred times before I thought, you know, this is an awesome statement. It really says that, doesn't it?
Yes.
So why is it the first thing happens to us when we get sick or afflicted or have to go to a doctor or whatever? If I walk into the hospital and I say, "Well, have you prayed yet?" And they say, "No, I've been waiting for you." Why do you need to wait for me? Are you a son or daughter of God just like I am?
Yes,
there's no difference. You know, we're all sons of God, daughters of God. We ought to be able to pray. So as I've learned these things, like, just like with little Philip there, I begin to build his faith. I begin to build his mother and dad's faith. And of course, this is what you hear all the time. All of a sudden, the daddy says, "Wow, I didn't know those powerful promises was in the book." Or the mother, "Wow, I didn't know that was in the book." Well, what's wrong with us? That's what's wrong. Well, you don't know what's in the book, do we? And so that's the whole problem. We don't know what's in the book. And then when we begin to believe a little bit of what's in the book, we think, "That's too good to be true. It couldn't be for me." So you're still in unbelief. So it still don't work for you. So anyway, for a couple of hours, we build their faith and everything. And then I looked at Philip and I said, "Son, do you believe the Jesus that I've been reading about in this book for the last couple of hours or so? Do you really believe this Jesus can take all these warts and scars off of your body?" He turned and looked at me and said, "Mr. Scrivener." After what I've heard you read out of that book today, I believe Jesus can do anything. Are we getting somewhere?
Yes,
that's the kind of faith. I said, son, that's the kind of faith God's looking for. So you take a little coffee table and you put the little coffee table right here in the middle, and you get him, Philip, over here, and his little sister over there, and his daddy over there, and his mother right there. And then you say, okay, I want every one of you to repent of all sin known and unknown. And so they repent of all sin known and unknown. I said, okay, now then, I want us to take a magnificent promise, Matthew 18:19. And I want to put it on the board so you can all see this magnificent promise. Matthew 18:19. What does it say?
Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Wow. And how many of us are knelt around here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 5 of us knelt around, and I'm on the earth. Is that right? I ain't out there. Did it say I got to be on earth? So I can't be out there in space. It might not work. See, we're going to have to get some addendums put in the Bible when we start praying, and or have to use another promise. He gave us plenty of promise, didn't he? But that one does say I got to be on earth, right? Does this look like earth? Yes, it did look like earth. And so now, have I met all the criteria? Yep, we've got all the sins repented of. We've got the faith built up. Now then, we found a scripture, and that scripture says we can have anything. So we're on safe ground, right? So I pray the simple prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18:19, I ask you to take away all of Philip Anthony Wren's warts and scars in the name of Jesus. Now I thank you and praise you and worship you for taking away all his scars and his wars. And we stand up, and the mother says, when are they going to come off? I said, ma'am, that's the only thing God didn't tell me. Did you see anywhere in there where he said he'd do it in 30 minutes? He didn't say when he would do it. He said he would do it, right? So I don't know when he's going to do it, but I got to stay in faith to make sure he does do it. Now then, if I start saying, well, you prayed, I don't see nothing, what's going on here? It's been 5 minutes now. I still ain't seen no miracle, no warts go away. Did he say he'd take them away in 5 minutes? He said he would take them away, right? Okay, so now then I've got to stand. So I start standing. I start praising the Lord. Lord, thank you. I told her, I said, now, ma'am, I don't know when they're going to come off, but I know they're going to come off because God made a promise in his word. And I guarantee you, if God made a promise in his word, I guarantee he cannot break that promise. I got to do something to make it not work. God can't break his promise. He said all of his promises are yes and amen. Did he not? All my promises are yes to my children, all of them. And so I said, I don't know when they're going to come off, but I guarantee they will. I said, it may take a day. It may take a week. It may take a month. I don't know. But all I know is if you stay in faith with me, if you do not get out of faith with me, the scripture, where I learned this in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, I want you to see this. I want your eyes to actually fall on this scripture, James 1, 6 and 7. But when you pray, what does it say?
Nothing.
Okay, now wait a minute now. When you pray, you must pray in faith. What?
Nothing wavering.
I mean, not even a little bit of unbelief?
No.
So if we pray and say, well, when's it going to come off? Well, if it be God's will. Maybe God will do it someday. Is there any faith in that?
No,
there's no faith in that. He promised he would do it, did he not? If God promised he would do it, then what do I need to do? And all of us, we need to stand on the word, right? Because if we have any doubt in our heart, when if you're prayed for and you start to leave here today and you say, well, I hope that works. You might as well come back and get prayed for again after you repent, because it ain't going to work, is it, Paula? No, that kind of faith don't work. God wants faith, real time faith. He wants you to believe his word with no doubt in your heart. And if he didn't mean that, then he wouldn't have put it in the board, would he? But he did put it up there, did he not?
Yes.
And so how much faith can you, how much doubt can you have? No, not any. So if I don't tell it like this, Philip, I guarantee you that if you and your mom and dad stay in faith with me, I guarantee in a few days to a few weeks, you will not have a wart or a scar on your body anywhere because God made us the promise, and I guarantee His word is true and cannot fail.
Amen.
Now, that takes that takes some boldness. Does it not? You're going to guarantee, just like this young boy said a while ago, he loved it when he heard me guarantee God's word. But it brought him to you too, didn't it?
Yes.
See, that's why when Cheryl and I answer, and many times we do lay there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning answering emails, and we've got to wherever email, once we remit people's sins, and that's another thing where people have a problem. But first thing we do, we don't know where they're coming from, so we make sure that we have forgiven their sin. Somebody says, who do you think you are? I know who I am.
Amen.
I am a son of the Most High God. And He lives right there. And on this earth, you and me, we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
We are the body of Christ. And so Jesus said, in fact, let's go there and let you look at that, John 20:23. Because so many people that have never seen it, when I say, I forgive sin in the name of Jesus. I've been teaching this for 20 years. I've had lots of people tell me, Thurman, that's not work. I can't do that. But if you, with that kind of an attitude, you're right. You can't. You have to believe with no doubt in your heart. What does John 20:23 say? Whosoever sins you remit, or whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Is that what that says? So I'll never forget the first Sunday I taught that in Dallas. I had almost total silence when I put that scripture on the board. I said, you have the power to forgive sin. Nobody said a word. Next Sunday, they said lots of words because they went and talked to their pastors. See, my church has always been 2 to 4 in the afternoon. Everybody else normally goes to church in the morning except us. So many people, just like here, many people in Dallas went to their church on Sunday morning, and then they come over to hear this unique Baptist preacher talk about healing on the afternoon or their power over demons and to get healed. And we got a bunch of them healed too, praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. But when I said, you have the power to forgive sin, the next Sunday, some of them walked in and said, Thurman, I talked to my pastor after I left here last Sunday. I called him and made an appointment, went on and sat down with him and told him what you said. And every one of those pastors said, Thurman is teaching a lie. He cannot forgive sin. Well, I beg to differ with you. If God said in His word, whosoever sins I forgive, they're forgiven. Do you believe you can do that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd love to tell this story on Scott and Kim. After they learned this, they'd heard it a few times. I'd taught it several times, and they thought they had it in their heart. I mean, that's just the way we think we are. And one weekend or something, they come home from out working or something, and there was no power at their house. And so they called the electric people, and they got a transformer blowed up, but they're about 2 o'clock in the morning or something, they'll have it back on. So just go to bed, and in the morning when you wake up, you should have power. Well, they did. They went to bed, but the next morning when they woke up, they still had no power. So anyway, they prayed now. Instead of calling the power company, they prayed. And when they prayed, the Lord spoke to Kim and told her, forgive the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on.
Amen.
Now, is that something?
Yes.
When's the last time you heard something like this? But they prayed, and as they prayed, God spoke to her heart and told her to remit or forgive the sins of this block so I can turn the power back on. And her first words out of her mouth was, you see, for a few seconds she was living in the flesh, was she not?
Yes.
And then the Spirit of God cut her legs right out from under her and said, you're a daughter of the King, girl.
Yes.
If I said you can forgive sin, she said, what am I talking about, Lord? Forgive me. I forgive the sins of this block. And what happened, Kim?
The power came on
instantly, just like that.
Yes.
So you see why when you're led by the flesh, nothing works. When you're led by the Spirit, everything works. That's the secret. When you're led by the flesh, yes, you're liable to be in any kind of sin known to man. You know, there, you may be cussing, fussing. And in fact, I got so tickled at a pastor. I started to say his name. He's a well-known pastor. But he said something the other day that was absolutely 100% accurate. He's talking about, he says, you know, I'm learning how Satan works. And he says, anytime I feel like I want to cuss you, I'm going to love you. And he went right down the list. And I thought, you know, this guy's really getting it. You know, when we are led by the flesh, somebody says something to us, we want to punch them out. You know, you want to cuss them out. I mean, and too many Christians do that. And they do not catch themselves in the spirit. They just go ahead and live in the flesh, and they will cuss somebody out or whatever. When you do that, you fall from grace. When you fall from grace, you fall back under the law. And when you fall back under the law, that's where the devil has legal right to you. So he comes to get you, and he'll make you sick and afflict you. And that's why Christians, that the healing power of Jesus has been paid for, that's why Christians get sick, because they're walking in the flesh. They're not walking in the spirit. If you're walking in the spirit, it's already paid for. He paid for it on the cross. It's a done deal. As long as you walk in the spirit, I can guarantee you that you cannot be made sick. It's only when you get out of that love walk. Now, when you get out of that love walk, how easy is it to step out of that love walk? It's so easy, it's unbelievable. Man, it'll nail you every time. But you have to get back in that love walk. So when you start teaching these principles of the kingdom, today we talked about these principles, and with little Philip, whenever I prayed for Philip and guaranteed him that if him and his mom and dad would stay in faith with me, that in a few days to a few weeks, he would not have a single wart or a scar left on his body. Now, what kind of a crazy man or woman does it take to make a statement like that? A man or a woman is walking, being led by the Spirit. You can guarantee God's Word will work. See, if you can't guarantee His Word will work, you hadn't been in the Word long enough. You know, and that's why so many people come and get prayed for, and they don't get an instantaneous healing. So as they leave here, they think, well, it didn't work. I went out to Thurman's Church, and they prayed for me. Yeah, they laid hands on me. They anointed me with oil, but I didn't get healed. But I knew I wasn't going to get healed because I didn't feel any better when I got to the door. I was still hurting just like I always was. And Jack, can you get healed and be still hurting when you get to the door after you've been prayed for? Because you was, wasn't you? Jack, in his first experience with healing as a Baptist, he's a Southern Baptist and proud of it. But now he's a believer in the Word all the way. But anyway, when he come out here and I explained to him, he had a sin in his life and he wasn't walking, being led by the Spirit. And so he repented of his sins. He was gracious enough to say, okay, Lord, I realize I have made some mistakes. And we've heard so much of what the Baptists say, you know, that you're just a sinner and you're saved by grace and you can't go without sinning. You just sin every day, all day. So at the end of every day, just repent. I've heard that a jillion times in church, but that's not true. It is true if you do it their way. But if you're led by the Spirit, that's not true. It don't work like that. So anyway, I got Jack to repent of his sin and everything, which he so graciously did. And then I said, I'm going to pray for your back. I'm going to lay hands on you. He's had back trouble for years and terrible pain. And he's sitting right there. So if I make any deviations, he can correct me. But anyway, after I prayed for him, I said, now, Jack, I said, how's the pain? And he says, oh, it's still just as bad as it ever was. I said, well, it's not going to be a instantaneous healing miracle. It's going to be a healing. I said, all you need to do is go and praise and worship the Lord. Is that what I said, Jack? Okay. Go and praise and worship the Lord. So he starts leaving, and as he's leaving, he said, Lord, thank you that my back is healed. Thank you, Lord, that I have no pain. I praise you. I read in the Word. Thurman showed me the Word. And see, he's a doctor, so he's a pretty intelligent guy. You know, he's just not normal. You know, so... But doctors, you know, the only thing wrong with doctors, they write where you can't read. That's the only thing with doctors. But as far as intelligence, he's a super sharp guy. So anyway, he goes out of here, and just about the time he gets to his car, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, Lord, thank you that I have no pain, doing all these crazy things that I told him to do that don't seem to make no sense because he's hurting. Lord, I think my back is healed. Oh, Lord. Now, you know how easy it is to get into unbelief? Ah, that crazy guy, and that's the first time I've ever seen him anyway, so he's got to be nuts. You know, this ain't working. But he's smart enough to know that what I showed him come out of God's Word. And that's what moved his heart, that I was teaching what was in the book. And so by the time he gets to the car and opens the door, praising the Lord, thank you, Lord, and start to get in the car, what happened to your pain, Jack?
It all went away.
It all went away. Praise the Lord. And about 2 weeks later, he comes back out here and he walks in and he says, he said, this stuff you teach really works. He said, I've been looking for this pain for 2 weeks and I can't find it. I told Jack, quit looking for it. I said, you're healed. Well, it wasn't long after that, he come to me and he said, that works so good for my back and I've been so healed. He said, now I've got a daughter that's got a big tumor on her hand and I got one on my hand. And he says, my daughter wants to do surgery on me to take mine off. She's going to let one of her buddies down at the hospital cut hers off. And she wants me to let her cut mine off. And I told her, now that I've learned that God does things like this, I'm going to let God take mine off. And so he wouldn't let his daughter cut on him. He said, if you cut on me, you'll leave a scar. He said, Jesus will take this tumor off my hand without a scar. And so when I prayed for him that day, I said, now, Jack, you got all the sins repented of? He said, I do. And I'm walking in obedience to God's word. I'm walking in love with everybody, walking, being led by the Spirit of God. So I said, okay, we'll pray. I said, now, Jack, remember, when we pray, you have to believe with no doubt in your heart it's done. That's what Scripture says, right, Jack? So anyway, we prayed that day, and I thanked the Lord for removing that big old tumor off the back of his hand. I don't remember, was it left or right? Left. So anyway, the next Sunday when he comes in, I said, Jack, how's your tumor? He said, praise God, it's gone. I said, well, let me see it. He holds his hand down. I said, Jack, you're lying. I can see it. It's still there. He said, no. You said, the Scripture said, I had to believe with no doubt in my heart. So when you prayed, it's over. Case closed. The tumor's gone. He said, it's gone. I said, but it's still there. He said, but I see it gone. Are y'all beginning to understand how this works? I see it gone. Is this what you told me, Jack?
Yeah.
And so he kept on going and kept on going. I said, okay, I see what you're doing. You believe it's done, even though it's not done in the flesh. In the spirit, it's done. So Jack said, I guarantee you it's done. It's written in that book. He said, it's done. Every Sunday that he was here, and he's a businessman, he travels quite a bit, so he wasn't here every Sunday, but every Sunday he's here. I said, Jack, how's your hand? He said, it's gone. The tumor's gone. I said, let me see it. And I'd look at it and I said, okay, I see. It's still there, but you see it. He said, it's gone. We prayed. It's done. I'm praising the King. 10 months goes by. 10 months. One day he walks out. I said, well, how's your tumor? He said, it's gone. I said, let me see your hand. He holds his hand down. I said, glory to God. It is gone. I said, praise the Lord. He said, Thurman, what are you getting so excited for? I've been telling you for 10 months it was gone. You see how it works?
Yeah.
You got to believe. And you don't never, ever, girl, get out of your belief that you're healed and going to be healed from now on ever. I mean, if a pain comes upon you, don't you ever agree with the enemy. You see what I mean?
Yes,
it's already done. You stay in the spirit, not in the flesh. Because if you get into the flesh, the devil, he'll put a pain on you, and then you'll say, oh my gosh, I guess my healing, I'm losing my healing. And people do that.
I know.
And then they lose their healing. So you don't ever do that. Just like Jack. Jack, he never denied that. I mean, it's gone. It doesn't matter what happened. You may look at the back of my hand. That thing may be there. But I'm telling you, it's gone. I see it gone. I'm walking in the spirit. That thing's gone. And I have no tumor on the back of my hand. And it took 10 months for that thing to manifest. But when it manifested, it went away and it ain't never come back. And you'd had that thing how many years, Jack?
40 years.
Woo! He had had that tumor on his hand for 40 years, and Jesus took it off, and it's been gone ever since. Are y'all beginning to get the picture? Oh, yeah. Next Saturday, we have a healing school. Next Saturday, if everybody that comes to a healing school, or everybody today that's prayed for, if you believe the principles of the Word of God, like I've said, you will get your healing. It will come. I don't have any idea how long or how many months we prayed for you, Paula, but it took several, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it didn't happen overnight either.
No.
but you got healed. And now she feels so good, praise the Lord. And so it's just like Tony there, he when he separated his arm, he messed it up really good. And Tony stood on God's promises about healing his arm. And I think you said it took something like 2 or 3 months, didn't it, Tony? About 2 or 3 months. But he stood on the promises of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to set mine down so I don't spill it. But what you need to know, and the reason we go over some of these things and tell you these things, the promises of God are there. We have to believe them up front. And if we believe them up front, eventually you will see the manifestation of your healing. It will happen, just like little Philip. Little Philip, after we prayed for him, in 3 weeks, of course, overnight, Philip ran, the warts on his fingers and fingernails went away overnight. And if you see a Baptist mother, you ought to have seen that Baptist mother the next Sunday in church. That's the first time I have ever seen a big, she's a tall woman. She's about 5'8" or 9". But that's the first time I've ever seen a tall, skinny Baptist woman come running into my Sunday school class screaming and throwing her hands out saying, God is awesome. Normally you don't hear Baptists do that. They don't do that because they never see God do anything. But her son had hundreds of warts, and over 1 week, all the warts on his hands and fingernails were all gone. And she was some kind of excited. Well, the next Sunday, more of them was gone. And the third Sunday, all of them was gone. And the only thing left was those two great big rows of warts, scars on the back of his hand. I told her, I said, ma'am, if you'll continue to believe with me until next Sunday, I guarantee you that by next Sunday. Now, see, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. I can't make these kind of things on my own. I told her that I guarantee, if you'll stay in faith with me, according to Mark 11:23, I said, I guarantee that by next Sunday, Philip will not have a scar or a wart left on his body, nowhere, because God said it and he promised it in his word. And the next Sunday when that mother walked in with Philip, for the first time in Philip's life since he was 3 years of age, he had not one single wart on his body or no scars. And today he's a big, tall, handsome, 6'4", you know, a guy. And no warts and no scars. Now, of course, after we got him healed, I went back and told him, I said, Philip, this is such an awesome thing. I would like to have some pictures of you when you had these warts. He said, sir, there is no pictures of me with those warts. I said, why? He said, I wouldn't let nobody take a picture of me. He said, I look so awful. I didn't want those. Well, we have no pictures. That's like somebody, Daystar the other day when they called and said, we want you to bring pictures of Caitlin in the hospital while you were praying over her. And I said, there is no such thing as pictures in that hospital. I was not interested in but one thing in that hospital. And y'all knew what that was, right? Getting my little baby healed. I wasn't worried about pictures. I mean, just they said, well, man, all them kids that Jesus healed while you was in there, couldn't you give us pictures and names and addresses? I said, I don't have a clue who those people were. I don't have a clue. To this day, I couldn't tell you who none of them were. All I know, there was 9 people, including my granddaughter, that was on their deathbed. And when I prayed for them after I got the parents to repent of sin, in fact, there's only one of them, a few years ago even, sitting right back there on the back, there was a paramedic by the name of Tony. Were you here that day? Tony was here in the church, and I told the story about Cook's Medical Center, and he stood up and said, Pastor, I'm the paramedic that picked up that boy in the park. He said, I knew he was going to die. But when I went back to the hospital a few days later and went in there and they said this boy was fully recovered and fixing to go home, I said, what happened? And they said, some guy by the name of Thurman Scrivener prayed for him. So he came out here to church. He wanted to see who this was. Well, let me tell you, who are we? We're sons of God. We're children of the Most High God. He's given us the power to forgive sin. Did he not? He gave us the power to heal the sick. Did he not? So why don't we do it? Get in the Word. Study the Word. Praise the Lord over the Word. Worship Him. Pray. These are one thing you can't overdo. You know, you can't overindulge in praise, can you, Mary? No, you can't overindulge in worshiping the Lord, because it just makes him... You can't overexert yourself in the knowledge of the Word of God. So the more you read and the more you study the Word, the better off you are. And the quicker will be your healing. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you all too a while ago, we had a visitor, another visitor today from Norway. Where is the brother that's from Norway? Praise the Lord. Had a brother from Norway. I bet none of y'all came any further than that to church today. Wow. So praise the Lord. We welcome him as all of you. Many of you are fairly new today. And we welcome everybody to come and to hear the healing power of Jesus the way we present it from the Word of God. So Father, we thank you and praise you that you're our healer, you're our deliverer, you're our God. You're the mighty King, the Lord of lords, and the God of gods. And Lord, thank you for all the people you've healed. And Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you for everybody. And Lord, since we pointed out Paula so many times today, Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you for her complete healing. We're so grateful. But Lord, for every one of these people that you've healed, which are many of them, and each one of us as we've received our healings from you, we're so grateful that we know a healing God and a God that's going to restore us and make us perfect. And we're able to walk in divine nature, of God's divine nature, because of the great and precious promises that you've given us. And thank you, Lord, for healing each one of us, taking away our pain. We are so grateful that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, may you use each one of us this week in a mighty way to get other people set free and delivered and healed. And may you use every one of us to do great things for your kingdom. We make ourselves available to you, Lord, to use for your glory. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.